Good morning, church.
Good morning.
For those who don't know me, my name is Izzo. I'm husband of Helen, proud Grace, and Amen. Anytime I come up, I like to introduce myself because I always believe there's someone new in here. So if you're new or you didn't know me, come say hello after, really. Don't run away. I know we've already touched on it, but how great does the hub look?
Yeah.
Yeah? Nice. I remember when Duncan sent the first vid of the spa, and I remember thinking, ooh, there's going to be a lot of work needed here. But if you look at it today, wow, it's a brand new building, so we just thank God for that. And can I just ask, if you could just put your hand up, if you're a part of the refurb, whether that means, you know, cleaning or doing structural work, just shoot your hands up. If you ever came in and gave me your time to help, come on guys, be proud of it. Look. Cool, you guys might give them a round of applause. Remember at the start, Duncan, because I work in finance, and me and Duncan like spoke with the numbers very quickly. And he was telling me the cost of everything. I don't work in trade, but I know that things are expensive. And when Duncan was quoting these numbers, I said, ooh, again, this is impossible. You know, in the corporate world, if I showed my bosses these numbers, these guys would take me into a room and say, you're not doing something right. You are missing a couple of zeros. And at the speed that things were getting done. But obviously, this isn't corporate finance. It's kingdom finance. Yeah. So, you know, like God is, nothing is impossible for God. Yeah. Moving on, I think for a long time, you know, like at the front every Sunday, you invite up, you've got a prophetic word. I've had one for a while, I'm sitting on it. The only person I talk to about is my wife. She hears it every day, every Sunday in the car, on the way home. It's about our church, and I think Grace touched on it. Talked about the new era. But what I had was revival. And there's a revival happening here in Graham Park in Colindale. It started, and it's going to get even bigger. I was talking to my friend earlier, and I said, back in the day, I couldn't be wandering aimlessly around these. Just to be honest, because I'm not from here. And it wasn't what it was today. And we just thank God that He lives here through our church. But with that comes a responsibility for us. We need to be ready. And God was basically telling me that some of us have gifts that we can use for the church. But some of us, I don't know who specifically, but what God was saying to me was, there's something you really want to do in church, but you're waiting to be asked. Waiting for Duncan or Becca to come up to you and ask what you do. You may have an idea of something you want to do in the church. And I'm going to invite Duncan up to pray for a second. To pray for whoever these people are, that your heart's basically be softened. The Bible says we are the light of the world. You don't put a shade on a light. So I just ask whoever you are in the room, that you be ready and you just step into what God has called you to do. So I'm going to ask Duncan to come up and pray for these people as we go into, as Tracy said, our new era.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that when you speak, we respond. I pray, Lord, that you build us into families. You build us into the church, that we submit to one another out of reverence for you. But God, I pray, above all else, give us obedient hearts, listening hearts to hear what you're saying, and then quick to step into it. Quick to step into all that you've called us to be, all that you've called us to do, Lord Jesus. And I pray when some of the barriers that have come up and you think, oh, who am I to do that? God, I pray, deal with us gently and kindly, but move us on. God, move us on. That we would hear your voice and that we would be responsive. Oh, Father, we thank you. When we say, I'm not able to do that, nobody's asked me, nobody's spotted me. God, I thank you that you know us and you have spotted us and you speak into our hearts, O Lord. And I pray that we wouldn't have a false modesty that actually hinders the kingdom right now. That you'd be taking us into a new era of obedience, of listening to what you're saying. and be obedient. And God, I ask, please, make us fruitful. And I think there are just many different areas where people are being called into. But God wants to make you fruitful in those areas. And He needs you to have a listening ear, to spend time in the quiet place, listening out for the Lord, and resolving, I will be obedient to the call of the Lord. He'll go ahead of you, He'll provide. So Father, I thank you. Let this be, Lord Jesus, a moment of a new era. Revival spreading through your church, we ask, O Lord. Father, we thank you. Amen.
Cool. So just to recap what we've been going through over the last couple of weeks, we've covered Matthew 5. In case you want to be learning the sermon, I highly recommend you go back and watch it and have that bit on YouTube. So, but if you're not going to do that, I'm going to tell you anyways what happened in the last couple of weeks. Duncan kicked us off about, you know, having to lose everything because we found Christ, which is basically opposite of what the world tells us to do. The scripture says, the last shall be first. Those who mourn will be comforted. And for me, I was personally challenged because it was very important to put down the things around us and pick up our cross. And in the week after that, Andy came and spoke on how to be the visible community. He mentioned being the salt of the earth, being the light. You know, Jesus isn't physically on earth anymore, but He is through us. So how do we be that light? Especially in the different spheres of life, like our workplace, not just church, but also in the friendship group. And he also mentioned, you know, we're trying, we don't want to be good for nothing. I think the word he used was good for nothing, why? And I don't want to be that. And then Anthony last week came and she spoke, not last week, 2 weeks ago, spoke about righteousness. And I loved it because she started off saying righteousness isn't about you. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's about who we are in Christ, so therefore we are righteous. And she did a lovely demonstration about three people, from someone who knows her very well, someone who kind of knows her, and someone who doesn't know her. But the outcome for all of them is the same. They all got the good. Yeah, I didn't get my chocolate. So let's call the shops down the road after, we'll go and we'll get a chocolate. but today I'm going to talk about the hearts of the matter, bracket animal. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, heart of the matter. And then turn to your neighbor and say, don't be angry. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 5, verses 21 to 26. Cool. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest the adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out there till you have paid the last penny. Praise the Lord. Just quick context. Basically, Jesus is here saying that it's not about avoiding the outward sin, things like murder. You know, that's very extreme, but rather dealing with the inward anger that we may feel. Because the kingdom that we belong to is very much concerned about the condition of the heart before anything else. One thing I like about what we've been going through is in your Bibles, you know where it's read? It's basically Jesus speaking. For me, it's like, that's the time you need to lock in and switch on, because people say, I don't hear from God, it's in red light. He's literally talking to you, and in every season, I promise you, there's something for you. I've read Matthew 5 many, many times, but every time, as Anthony, Duncan, Andy have come up and shared, I've learned something new. Cool. And I also love the comparison. So in the future chapters that are coming up, you're going to see Jesus do this thing where he says, you have heard, but this. Basically talking about, this is the law, but this is what I say. And I think for me, I just love it, because I think Jesus doesn't want to make us understanding him. He wants it to be crystal clear. So when you hear that, you have heard, you know, we all have heard the Ten Commandments. And some of you are like, it's a bit difficult. But Jesus comes and he gives crystal clear clarity. So today we're going to be talking about anger. And when I read it at first, I thought, I don't think I'm an angry person. I like to think I'm a chill guy. You know? I'm not an angry person. So, when you think of murder, I think immediately you think of destruction. You think of destruction. There's different steps to your anger. Sorry, guys. Yeah, there's different steps to your anger. You've got anger, you've got content, and then you have destruction. Typically, you're thinking about the destruction, right? What does anger lead to? Violence, murder, so many other things. But Jesus is saying, hold on, before we start there, let's go straight back to the root, anger. For some of us, it may look like silent resentment. Church, let's be vulnerable today. If you ever had silent resentment for someone, just pop your hand up.
Alright, good, we're being honest, thank you.
For some of us, it may look like bitterness. Anybody? What's going to happen is the hands are going to stop going down. That's okay. Anyone ever had an argument with someone and then they've gone home and then they've replayed the argument in their head? And then they've gone, I should have said this. I should have done this. You won it in your head. Cool. And then for some of us, it's just being passive aggressive. This one I'm not very good at, to be honest, but some people are very aggressive. When they're angry, but you don't really, you're not quite sure, but you know something, they're angry. And then for some of us, it's aggression. It comes out. For some of us, it's humiliation. The scripture says rakah, which means empty-headed, or in other words, stupid. So, church, I just want to ask, so we're honest at the start. Who then now, looking at this, feels like they do have anger? Yeah, let's be honest. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. James 1:19-20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So what's the solution then? And this is why I like Jesus a lot. He's a very practical guy. He gives you the problem, but then the solution is right around the corner. So, in the scripture it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So for us, that gift could be in worship. We may come here, hands up, you know, you're having a great time, you are praising, you are giving financially, you are serving, you are giving your time. Jesus is saying, not forget all of that, but leave all of that there. Go and reconcile with the person that you're angry with. He's not really interested in your routine, your rituals. It's about getting right with the heart. Church, I'm going to be vulnerable for a sec. While I was reading this, I was really convicted. Very convicted. To be honest, me and my brother's relationship hasn't been the best recently. And as I read this, I was like, there's no way I can come and talk about anger and I've not restored my brother. It doesn't make any sense. So I said, you know what? I'm going to call him. I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. I'm going to tell him I love him. Church, he didn't pick up the phone. So I sent him a long text message instead. He's since not replied, but that's okay, because God is in control of that situation. So I ask you, church, who do you need to reconcile with? Because we know that our God cares deeply about restored relationships. The whole Bible is full of stories, or texts, of people who are reconciled. There's so many examples of this. First one I can think of is Joseph and his brothers. Joseph had every right to be angry with his brothers. At the very end, remember, he was up. He was the head honcho of Egypt. Everything was good. He could have been super, like, he could have done some really mean things to his brother and his family. But he didn't choose revenge. He chose grace and the healing of God. Another example, Jacob and Esau. Remember Jacob? He stole his brother's blessing. Which is, a lot of these people in the Old Testament, man, these guys are bad guys. But he stole his brother's blessing. Esau didn't quickly forgive him. I remember the scripture, I think he said, I'm going to go kill him. And it took a long time. But what came of it? I remember Jacob was running away from Esau. But Esau was running towards him because he wanted to have him. And another example, the prodigal son. So here you go, you've got a son who's turned away. The father could have gone, you know what, you've gone outside, you've done so many messed up things, and want nothing to do with you. But the scripture says, well, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Then the most famous example, Jesus and us. We're the ones who have sinned against him. And we're the ones who have turned away. And we talk about anger, justified anger. Imagine Jesus, you're Jesus. You're betrayed, you're mocked, you're spat on, you're crucified. But in that moment, what did he say? Did he say, God, kill all these people? He said, Father, forgive. And that's basically the gospel, which is, I'm choosing you despite whatever you've got or whatever you've done to me. So if he can extend that type of grace to us, why can't we extend it to us? So we're going to invite the band back up, and we're going to do a quick response. But some of us in the room, we're still angry with something. Family, friends, parents. Some of it is church hurt. I've been there. But this morning, God is saying enough in terms of you carrying. In a moment, we're going to pray together. And we're going to pray specifically for two groups of people. Yeah. So the first group of people are the people who need restoration. Your relationship is broken down. And this can be with family, siblings, or whoever. You used to be close with them, but now there's a bit of distance. I don't know the context of it. Maybe you were really hurt by this person. Maybe you did the hurt. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle. But this morning, God is calling you towards restoration. And then there's a second group of people. People just carrying anger. Maybe from that disappointment or pain. And people don't see it. People think, you know, your life is good, man. What are you talking about? But it's been sitting heavy in your heart for a very long time. But this morning, Jesus just wants to heal that. Can I ask everyone to stand, please? Every eye is closed, heads bowed. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray together, but I just want to know who I'm praying for. Close your eyes so you can give everyone a bit of practice. If you're in the first group with someone who wants restoration, that family member, can I just ask you to put your hand up, please? Thank you. I've got a prayer here, and I'm just going to ask you guys to repeat after me, and that's everybody. Hands up or hands down. Jesus, soften my heart. Give me grace to forgive.
Give me grace to forgive.
And courage to go after restoration.
And courage to go after restoration.
Help me walk in love.
Help me walk in love.
Humility and peace.
Humility and peace.
And then the second group of people. People carry anger. Again, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you feel like this is you, from hurt, maybe, disappointment, pain, just ask for your hand up, please. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Heal my heart.
Heal my heart.
Free me from anger.
Free me from anger.
Bitterness.
Bitterness.
And unforgiveness.
And unforgiveness.
Fill me with your peace.
Fill me with your peace.
Your grace.
Your grace.
And your love.
And your love.
And the whole church said,
Amen.